So let us be still together as we come to worship God. And hear the word of God from Psalm 147. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for God is gracious and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. God gathers the outcasts of Israel. God heals the brokenhearted. God binds up their wounds. Let's join together to sing, Christ be our light.
Thank you.
we join together to pray. Let us pray. Gracious God, as Jesus withdrew from the pressures of the crowds to renew his life with you, help us to set aside our pressures, our anxieties and our worries, to center on you now. We come, each one of us, unique and known fully to you alone. Yet together in this strange setting, we are with our sisters and brothers here and with Christians throughout the world, and with all those who live in you forever. In stillness, we wait upon you. Stillness of body, stillness of mind, stillness of soul, the stillness of your presence. How can we pray to you, O God? Your Holy Spirit within us reaches out to you. How can we pray to you, O God, your Son who called us his sisters and brothers and taught us to call you Father, prays with us and for us. In union with him and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we praise you. For you are good, all good, our true and everlasting good. And it is a joyful thing and a good thing to stop and to sing your praises. And it is a pleasant thing and a joyful thing and a wise thing to be thankful. Accept the worship that we offer on this day. We ask for your forgiveness for those times when the living of our lives day by day has not been acceptable to you. Forgive us and strengthen us to listen for your guiding word and turn our lives to reflect the life of Jesus. For it is his name that we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you speak to us?
Good morning, everybody. Oh, you've all frozen on me. I'll keep talking. I don't know about you, but since the pandemic started, I don't listen to the news as much as I used to. I might go on and get a few headlines, but I don't listen to it or watch it on the telly quite so much as I used to. I don't find it particularly helpful for my mental health, to be honest. But one programme that I do quite like, if I do watch, is something called BBC News with Cathy and Christian. I don't know how many of you have watched it, and I'm not going to know now because you're all frozen, so I can't see whether you're raising your hands or not. So this is fun. It's quite a new way to me of doing news. They, if you don't know, they have a split screen. They have Cathy Kay on one side, broadcasting live from Washington, and Christian Fraser on the other side, broadcasting live from London. Oh, good. Leslie says we can hear you. That's good. and Janine is saying, I watch it. Thank you, Janine. and I like it because, okay, it does serious news stories, but I like the chemistry between the presenters. I like the banter that they have. Sometimes it's quite irreverent, a bit cheeky. I like the lighthearted touch that they have in a news program. And it started off as a program called 100 Days. It began from the inauguration of Donald Trump, and they were looking at the first 100 days of his presidency. And it became a very popular program. And because it was popular, and because Donald Trump was, rather eventful, it became something called Beyond 100 Days. And now it's called BBC News with Cathy and Christian. And it's interesting, the first 100 days or the first few weeks or months of anything new that we start, when we start a new job or school or move house, whatever. And I'm sure some of you have got some interesting stories about, funny stories maybe even, of when you started your job and the things that happened. And it's a great opportunity to set out from the very start who we are and what we believe, what our priorities are, how we work, what our gifts and abilities are. And today we're looking at the first few days of Jesus's ministry. Soon we'll be in Lent and we'll be looking at the first 40 days when he went out into the wilderness and prayed and fasted. But we're looking at his first week. And he really did have a very busy, eventful first week. He, in everything that he said and did, he set out who he was and what he, the reason he'd come, why he'd come to, and what he'd come to do, and what his priorities were. And I guess that's what we can do as well. But stepping back from that, we've got to know in the first place who we are. And we've got to know what our priorities are in order to not just be speaking to people, but showing in our actions what our priorities are and what God is calling us to do as we go through the coming weeks. So that's my little thought for the day. Thank you.
Thank you. We have two readings. The first from the Old Testament, Georgina Forbes will be reading to us from the prophet Isaiah, who speaks the words of the Lord to an oppressed and exiled people. And then Martin Burge, as you know, speaking from the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. This season we're with Mark's Gospel, Jesus moving between public spaces and private spaces, and how he uses those public and private spaces to sustain himself as well as to sustain others.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31, and I'm reading from the New English Bible. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Were you not told long ago? Have you not perceived, ever since the world began, that God sits throned on the vaulted roof of earth, whose inhabitants are like grasshoppers? He stretches out the skies like a curtain. He spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces the great to nothing and makes all earth's princes less than nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely have they taken root in the earth before he blows upon them and they wither away, and a whirlwind carries them off like chaff. To whom then will you liken me? Whom set up as my equal? Asks the Holy One. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Consider who created it all. Let out their host one by one, and call them all by their names. Through his great might, his might and power, not one is missing. Why do you complain, O Jacob? And you, Israel, why do you say, my plight is hidden from the Lord, and my cause has passed out of God's notice? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, creator of the wide world, grows neither weary nor faint. No man can fathom his understanding. He gives vigor to the weary, new strength to the exhausted. Young men may grow weary and faint. Even in their prime, they may stumble and fall. But those who look to the Lord will win new strength. They will grow wings like angels. They will run and not be weary. They will march on and never grow faint.
The second reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. Jesus and his disciples, including James and John, left the synagogue and went straight to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed sick with a fever, and as soon as Jesus arrived, he was told about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. After the sun had set and evening had come, people brought to Jesus all the sick and those who had demons. All the people of the town gathered in front of the house. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons say anything because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, long before daylight, Jesus got up and left the house. He went out of the town to a lonely place where he prayed. But Simon and his companions went out searching for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus answered, "We must go on to the other villages round here. I have to preach in them also, because that is why I came." So he travelled all over Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons.
Amen. Warm greetings to you from Kingston United Reformed Church, where I, Leslie Charlton, am one of the ministers. If you could do with a conversation, get in touch. We'll be glad to speak to you. And please feel free to join us in the Zoom that goes before this service, before the sermon, and then after this sermon. You know, you'd be most welcome to be a part of that too. But if you're just here for the sermon, the texts are Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31, and then Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. These texts give us the perfect guide of living through a global pandemic. Obviously, our times are different, and they weren't written with our times in mind. And there's no mention of vaccines or hand washing or social distancing. But fundamentally, there are six things that if we take them into ourselves, life will be better. 6 points then. Firstly, people need people. Even the most introverted of us needs others. And we are not going to bump into people like we used to. We need to be intentional about reaching out to others. People can't read our minds. They don't know what's going on for us at any day, any moment of any day. If we need company, we need to take the initiative. Call somebody up and say, "How are you?" Engage with church activities. Because if Jesus, perfection on legs, needed pals, will we not? It's not weakness to just talk to somebody, just to chew the fat and shoot the breeze with them. That might be not be your normal way, but these are different times. Second and third, Jesus gets up early. He deliberately drags himself out of bed, the text says, while it was still very dark. He doesn't lie in bed until someone comes to get him up, and he doesn't get up early so he can crack on with the jobs. He gets up early because he wants to pray. To take time at the beginning of the day to focus on what is eternally important is good use of time. Holmes under the hammer doesn't count, nor does a reading for the sake of massaging one's own ego. How then is time to be spent? Which brings us on to the fourth thing. The story of Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus heals the woman, and the first thing she does is serve. She doesn't do what I would do, which is milk the situation for as long as possible and whine a lot. No, her first instinct is to serve. And that's very different for most of us most of the time, especially at the moment when inertia is everywhere. Getting ourselves motivated is tough. Everything will keep till tomorrow. And so we sow bad seeds of behaviour and we put things off. Of course, there are some of us who are very burdened with work, homeschooling the children, and many who are feeling burdened by anxiety. But who are we serving in our days? Is it possible that for you the challenge is not about more activity but about attitude? Who can we build up? Who can we encourage? Don't have the time? Yes, we all do. Text someone good wishes. Zip up our mouths when we want to be rude. Send a card and check our attitude in the way that we're dealing with others. For some, maybe people of a certain demographic, serving itself is always difficult. I can only bend down and wash your feet for two reasons. One, it could be, if I don't do it, I'm going to get into serious trouble. Or I can do it because I know that I am valued. I can minister to you from a sense of myself as a particular valuable child of God. Too many people do things for others that smack of manipulation and meeting their own needs. Is that actually service? We do what we do because God has loved us first. That calls us to action for others. Service is what the call of Christ entails. And it's a very difficult thing in a society like ours, where it's all about me and what works for me and my needs and self-help for me and me time. These are the songs of our society. Yes, of course, we do no one any favours at all if we abuse ourselves by overworking. But putting ourselves second might be an interesting lesson for some. Even second to God is tough in a society like ours. Serving and not being in charge is very unfamiliar for some. Following instructions, even instructions from God. It comes, though, not from weakness, but in knowing the one that we serve. Fifthly, Peter turns up and says to Jesus, "The crowd love you. They want more. Let's go in and give them some more of what they're asking for." And Jesus says, "No, let's go somewhere else. Just because everybody else thinks it's great does not mean that it's right. Just because all of our society is shouting out for it, that does not mean it's our job to do it. Imagine nowadays being brave enough, when churches feel so marginalised and irrelevant, to have the courage to follow Jesus and say, I know you want us to do it, but no, we're doing something else. We're doing a work that you don't think matters, but it matters to us. For us to live life well, it is imperative that we keep our eyes on Jesus. We are soaked, surrounded by secular humanism. We swim in it every day. It is like water to a fish. We just don't even know it's there, all around us. Individualism, globalization, capitalism, all around us, they are the prevailing songs. The priorities of the gospel are not the same as the priorities of any political party. The view of the gospel is distinct and different. Shows a different light on what is true, a different light on what matters. And for Jesus, in a number of places, he makes it clear that it's not about bigger and bigger crowds. It's not about more and more people. It's about individuals getting what he says and then shaping their lives because of it. And then finally, point number 6 from Isaiah. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Do we wait on the Lord? Or are we too busy doing our own thing? Time to stop, to recharge with God. Not merely to work longer and longer and harder, not merely to think that we can re-energize ourselves with our own cheap and easy pastimes. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So then, rules for the season. 6. 1. People need people. Remember, solitary confinement is a punishment. However lovely your house is, if you're there by yourself, you could say you're in a sort of prison. So use the methods that are available to us. Reach out and allow others to reach out to us too. Rule 2, get up. Set an alarm. Don't just lie in your bed. Rule 3, start the day with a thought of God. Doesn't have to be a long liturgy, doesn't have to be a highly involved practice, but to be in the habit that the day starts by each of us seeking what is God's will, rather than living the day like a pinball bounced around by the forces of the day. And remember, God help me today is a noble prayer. 4, we are called to serve. Our lives as Christians are more than being about our personal ease and our personal happiness. What is God calling each one of us to do? And then, do it. How the service works out will be different from normal, but that doesn't mean that for each of us we need to be moving away from being focused on ourselves, from become too self-obsessed, to put ourselves third, behind God, behind the other that we are serving, and then we come in. Rule 5. Just because the crowd are shouting for us to do it, that does not mean that we should. Do not go merely because it is fashionable. Is it right? That is the question. It's not about how many fans have you got. It's not about how many likes have you got on Facebook. To have the courage to stand against the fashion is the call of the Christian. Not just to irritate people, not just to cheese them off, but to do what the Lord requires. Rule 6. Rest in the Lord. Not in our own efforts, but to rest in God. And that is where energy comes from, that will last. Yes, of course, we can gird our loins and push through, white knuckle it, but that's not wholesome and it's not sustainable. To go at God's pace. To go in God's way. Amen.
Join together to pray. Let us pray. God of love, you give power to the faint and strength to the powerless. Many of us are exhausted. Many people we know juggling with school and at the kitchen table, responding to the demands of work or family life, and dealing with isolation, joblessness, and the overwhelming wave of fear. God of love, who defends the voiceless, we pray for this country where society is marred by inequality of life chances, opportunities and money, and where COVID has revealed the vast wealth owned by some and the struggles of others just to make ends meet. Help us to be alert to the pain of others. Help us to hear the cries of the powerless. God of love and strength and justice, we pray for those whose political situation is perilous at this time. We hold up for you the country of Myanmar. And as regularly, we pray for peace in Israel-Palestine. We pray for North Korea. God of love, who heals the brokenhearted, who gathers in all who are lost. There are many mourning the loss of family members and friends. There are many suffering in mind or body. Asking for peace and for your healing presence in their need. Send your blessing on all who are afraid or alone or hungry. And Lord, be with those whose lives are being destroyed by abuse and violence, and all for whom home is not a safe place. We thank you for the vaccine, and we thank you for the rollout of inoculations, and we pray for those developing another vaccine to cope with new strains. And we pray for an increased take up of the vaccine around the world for the safety of all of us. God of love, you know our pain and our sadness, and we hold up before you those things that are heavy on our hearts. For Evelyn White in hospital and her family. For all of us as we mourn. Be with us. Be with us in our physical and mental challenges. And may we rest in you, Lord our God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if we were in the church building today, I would be saying to you, today is a day when you are allowed to talk a lot about sport. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about rugby, talk about football, talk a lot about rugby. I'm very surprised that the Borthwicks aren't like wearing saltaires and dancing around the room. Enough. It's not nice. I'll move on. But if anybody needs any bereavement counselling, any English people need any bereavement counselling, I'm the woman for you. Okay, that's the name of the game. Come on, I don't get this chance very often. Right. Evelyn White, who I have sent message about, has fallen and broken her hip. Her operation has gone well, and she's currently recovering in St. Peter's Hospital. Please continue to pray for her and also for Janita and Andrew as they recover from COVID. This week we have two funerals in our community. One of Donald McIntyre, a man who worshipped with us on occasions when his daughter would bring him when she was in from the States. So that's indicative that she will join us live streaming it. And Anne Mackay, and I will send you the webcast details of those services when I send out the notices. Everybody's invited to come and join us making some pancakes on Tuesday the 16th at 5 o'clock. This is me giving you warning to spend some time and get your favourite pancake filling ready to go. Janine will do the cooking, then we'll all do some cooking, so set up your Zoom in the kitchen and we'll have some fun together. On Friday the 19th, we begin praying for 24 hours at 6 o'clock in the morning. If you've never led something like this, maybe this is a great chance because you could lead it at some time like 3 o'clock in the morning, and there aren't crowds, brothers and sisters. Might be a time to try it. It's a time to be mentored to give it a shot. Maybe a season to be brave. And we don't sit in silence. People make input. It's a time to reflect. Some of these little acts of worship are fantastic. And I can't tell you which ones are going to be particularly fantastic because it doesn't work like that. But you'd be most welcome to lead an hour. Or if you find a prayer and you think that would be great, send it in. And if you think there is something that you particularly want us to be praying for, send me a message and we will make it happen. Tomorrow evening, you have a choice of two different activities that you could do. I sound like one of those people with a red jacket on and butlins, hidey hi, holy ho. You could either go to an exercise class, which Rosette will be leading, mind, body, spirit workout, or there is a meditation which Stuart will be leading. You're most welcome at either one of those activities. Could you be polishing up and getting ready your magazine material this week, please, to go to Jean Thompson? If you are new to the life of Kingston United Reformed Church, would you send me your contact details and we will add you to our list, and then we can email you and include you in all the stuff that we send out. My email is minister@kurc.org. Please email me and we will add you. And I have the suspicion that some of you are holding back from being in touch with me because you are concerned about me, which is gorgeous. But I just want to say that if you want to speak to me about anything, email me, phone me, and I'll pick up, or if I have the energy, I'll get back to you when I can. But for now, we will move to our Holy Communion, which might mean that some of you need to turn off your video and go running out of the room and get yourself some bread and wine, or some red juice and some oat cake, whatever you've got. But for now, I will dedicate our gifts of money and bread and wine. Let us pray. Living God, your love for us is so unfathomable. Open our ears to hear the cries of your neediest children. Open our eyes to see human injustice. Open our minds to think about compassion in all circumstances. Continue to increase our willingness to give so that we may lead lives fully focused on ministry to others. We place these offerings in your hands in gratitude for your guidance and love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take this bread, we drink this cup, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. With joy we give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, source of all life and love, that we live in your world, that you are always creating and sustaining it by your power, that you have made us that we can know and love you, trust and serve you. We give you thanks that you love the world so much that you gave your only Son, Jesus, so that everyone who has faith in him may not die but have eternal life. We thank you for Jesus born among us, who lived our common life on the earth, that he suffered and died for us and rose again and is always present through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can live in the faith that your kingdom will come, and that in life, in death, and beyond death, you are with us. Therefore, with all the company of heaven and all your people of all places and all times, we proclaim your greatness and sing your praise. Holy, 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 God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy Lord God, by what we do here in remembrance of Christ, we celebrate his perfect sacrifice on the cross and his glorious resurrection and ascension. We declare that he is Lord of all and prepare for his coming in his kingdom. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, this bread would be for us the body of Christ and this wine the blood of Christ. Accept our sacrifice of praise. And as we eat and drink at his command, unite us to Christ as one body in him, and give us strength to serve you and to you, one holy and eternal God, Creator, Son, and Spirit, be praise and honor for now, forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same way he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The bread which we break is the communion in the body of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion in the blood of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. We join to pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you. And we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom. And that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we join together to sing, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You." Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love, for now, forever. Amen.